Hi, friend. This is Janet Parshall. Thanks so much for downloading this podcast. I truly hope you hear something that encourages you in your walk with Christ and helps you to grow up in Him. These programs are designed to equip and edify and enlighten and encourage and then gently but steadfastly push you out into the marketplace of ideas where you can tell people the good news that Jesus is Lord, that He's paid the penalty for our sins, and that He rose from the dead. Speaking about all that good news, I want to tell you about this month's truth tool. It's called Questioning Christianity, and I chose this book particularly as we begin a new year this January, because a lot of us are doing introspection about our life, where we've been, where we want to go, the goals we're setting for this year. And this is often the time when unanswered questions have a way of rising up in our soul. And you would not be alone, by the way, if you began to question some aspects of Christianity. We all do, by the way. That's a walk by faith, by the way, and not by sight. Sometimes we have these questions because we don't know how to read the Word of God. And God's truth is revealed to us in often surprising ways through His Word. Every one of our questions are valuable, every one of our questions are important, and every one of our questions about Christianity can be answered. So I want you to read this book as we start out a new year together. Find out who Jesus is, learn to hear the story of what He's done for us in a brand new and exciting way, and come to recognize the profound and encouraging truth that you are a part of that story. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or you can give online at the website at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. There's the cover of the book, Questioning Christianity. Click it on, make your donation through the website. Also, while you're there, you might want to consider becoming a Parshall partner. Those are our friends that are growing each and every single day, friends who have set a level of their own choosing and then give every single month. The financial spinal column, if you will, of In the Market with Janet Parshall. The website will explain how I say thank you to those friends who are monthly givers. So thank you very much for letting me take a few moments to talk to you about this month's Truth Tool. And now, please enjoy the broadcast.
Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So are Americans worshiping government over God?
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years, the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This idea of poll tax is not...
From self-driving cars to robot companions to warfighters, artificial intelligence is taking a prominent role across all industries.
Lebanon, Ohio is the latest community to declare itself a sanctuary city for the unborn. There is no abortion clinic here, but city leaders say that's not the point.
If you're keeping score, there have been four major cyber attacks in the U.S. in recent weeks, three of them blamed on bad actors in Russia or China.
All agree America's infrastructure needs help, but Congress still can't agree on how much to spend on it or even what infrastructure is.
Lilibet Diana Mountbatten Windsor was born at a hospital in Santa Barbara. Harry and Meghan say they plan to call her Lily.
Portland, Oregon recorded 112 degrees, breaking the all-time temperature record of 108. Set the day before.
Alphabet's Google has agreed to make changes to some of its widely used online advertising services. It's part of an unprecedented settlement with France's antitrust watchdog released on Monday.
The Hoover Dam in Nevada is about to hit its lowest levels in nearly 90 years.
Bitcoin suffered a fresh slump on Monday. The cryptocurrency tumbled as much as 9% at one point, sinking below $33,000.
Justices are saying they will not hear a major case on transgender rights, declining to hear the case of Gavin Grimm.
In a landmark decision in Hong Kong, the Court of Appeal has upheld a ruling to deny a trial by jury to the first person charged under a new national security law.
At least four people now confirmed dead after that catastrophic building collapse in Florida.
Today, the Department of Justice is suing the state of Georgia.
The Supreme Court on Monday dismissed a lawsuit involving Donald Trump's Twitter account, saying the end of Trump's presidency makes the case moot.
I've been very alarmed about what's going on in our school. You are now training our children to be social justice warriors and to loathe our country and our history.
My name is Tanner Cross, and I'm speaking out of love for those who suffer with gender dysphoria. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa, because it's against my religion, it's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God.
Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm Janet Parshall. My husband, Craig Parshall, is with me as he is on Fridays. But this is a special Friday because the first broadcast together as husband and wife in the new year, we've made it our tradition to take a look at the year that was, offer some insight and analysis, and perhaps forecast some of the stories that might make headlines in 2022. What you just heard was another superb montage put together by my excellent team reviewing the year that was. That was the month of June. Now, if you want to know what our analysis was of January through May, then let me encourage you to go back to the podcast, In the Market with Janet Parshall.org. Left-hand side, two words, past programs. Click that on, download our first hour today, and you'll get our analysis of the first half of the year. But this hour, we're going to look at June through December. And if you want to weigh in at any time, help yourself at 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Craig, there is so much crammed into that montage. First and foremost, I think we have to recognize one of the big stories of 2021, and that was the parents' revolution. This has been, I think, one of the biggest takeaways for last year for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't started by some group in Washington. No 501c3 got together and said, let's get a think tank. Let's get moms and dads all across the country to show up at school board meetings. This was about as organic a movement as it gets, from the East Coast to the West Coast and almost all points in between, where moms and dads, and here I have to say this is a blessing, if you can extrapolate any blessings out of COVID, perhaps this was one, where when that laptop was open on the dining room table, and instead of Johnny being in a classroom two blocks away, Johnny was in a classroom at the dining room, and you got a chance to hear as the mom and the dad exactly what was being taught, and it left a lot of parents, in fact, gobsmacked, as the old saying goes, and they were going, what? I thought it was reading, writing, arithmetic, and state capitals, and the next thing I know, you're teaching them to be as exactly as that mom who you just heard from Loudoun County in that montage, who escaped communist China, by the way, who recognized that in China, it's not called critical race theory, by the way, that internal word is just whatever current iteration is. In communist China, it's critical class theory. And she's very upset because the same techniques that she saw in communist China is what she was seeing manifest in her local school board. So you have moms and dads all across the country who showed up and said, no, this fire, no father. It got to the point where it actually worked its way into the Department of Justice, the Oval Office, kicked back to the Department of Justice, where we had our own Merrick Garland, a man who at one point had aspirations of sitting on the United States Supreme Court, mm-hmm. now calling moms and dads domestic terrorists and lighting a fire under the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security. The list goes on and on and on. That, to me, perhaps was what I know COVID wants to take first place. I'm not going to allow it. I think the parents' revolution was the bigger story of 2021.
Yeah, the more voices I hear, authentic scientific and medical voices about predicting forward that this pandemic is going to end. It's not going to last forever. And as a matter of fact, it may end quicker than we think it will. And these are coming from epidemiologists and others that I've been hearing. The more I realize that there are some important issues that are ending up on page 20, of the daily newspaper, if you're still reading a paper newspaper, rather than page one. But I have to tell you that this parents' movement about public education, the education of their children, is one of the most remarkable citizen-organized, citizen-based, localized, and yet national-in-scope movements I have ever seen spring up organically. This was not the instrumentation of some well-funded lobby group that decided to incentivize parents. And I have to tell you, Janet, and you know this to be true, in the kind of law practice that I had, I handled a number of parents' rights cases over the years. And back in the waning years of the 20th century, there were a lot of rumblings about this issue, but nothing really was mounted, no national movement was started, proposals were made about how parents can get back some control of how their kids are taught, but nothing happened. And then suddenly, as you indicated, the technology of the classroom comes into the home, the parents see for themselves, wait a minute, this isn't education, this is propaganda. I don't want it, and not for my child.
No, and by the way, I don't think it's a story that's seen its last chapter written by any stretch of
imagination. Oh, it's now becoming a national movement. As a result, we have a different governor in the state of Virginia, which was entirely Democratic before, and that was the issue that brought a Republican governor in.
And who knows how it'll vote in the midterms. More of the Year in Review right after this. The gospel gives voice to our deepest desires and hopes. It breathes new life into weary souls. That's why I've chosen Questioning Christianity as this month's truth tool. Let your questions and doubts lead you to a deeper understanding of who Jesus truly is. Ask for your copy of Questioning Christianity when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org.
As the protests in Havana against Cuba's communist dictatorship continue, Cuban Americans are also protesting.
Major League Baseball now dealing with several breakthrough COVID infections. The league postponing last night's Phillies-Nationals game.
House Republicans bristled at new guidance from the Capitol physician Wednesday mandating mask wearing.
Officers testified that January 6th was unlike any protest they'd ever seen. But before testimonies even started, day one opened with chilling new video giving more insight into what the rioters were planning on the Capitol grounds that day.
In Northern California, the Dixie Fire has exploded in size, now burning in two counties, destroying at least a dozen homes and threatening as many as 10,000.
Cleveland's Major League Baseball team is headed toward a name change after more than a century dropping Indians, which many considered racist toward Native Americans.
North and South Korea have restored their previously severed hotline as the two countries' leaders agreed to rebuild ties and regain trust.
You can hear right now the loud chanting, whistling of protesters who are calling for these games to be canceled.
We're used to seeing Simone Biles pull off the unthinkable, but the U.S. gymnastic phenom doing something she's never done on Tuesday, suddenly withdrawing from team finals in Tokyo.
Available over the counter now, contraceptive pills that have previously required a prescription. All that's needed now is a consultation with a pharmacist.
Pfizer says new data suggests a third dose of its COVID vaccine can strongly increase protection against the Delta variant.
We are here today to announce the indictment of four Chinese nationals for coordinating a multi-year conspiracy to hack into computer systems belonging to private companies, universities, and government entities in the United States and around the world.
Mm. A quick overview of July of 2021. In addition to the stories that you just heard, let me just linger a little bit more on the games. The organizers of the Tokyo Olympics, and it opened July 23rd last year, banned spectators from the games, again, under the guise of protection for COVID. Now we see what's going to be happening in Beijing for the Winter Games. There are diplomatic shunnings that are taking place, but the games will still go ahead. One wonders exactly how much viewer participation there will be. Also, it was the time of taking flight. Richard Branson reached the edge of space and safely returned to Earth, and he beat out Jeff Bezos, Craig, by 9 days. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, July 11th, Richard Branson in his own Virginia Galactic that he sent up, financed. Virginia. Yeah, no, Virgin Galactic. Jeff Bezos and his new Shepard rocket ship was only 9 days later. You know, again, we go back to the issue of billionaires who have technology backgrounds wanting to put their money where their mouth is in terms of advancing innovation and technology in new ways. And in this way, space exploration, no, maybe space travel as customary in the future as air travel is right now.
And it's interesting also because you heard a little bit about what was going on in tech. By the way, isn't it interesting how much tech has woven its way through almost every single month? Tech has been and will continue to be a big news story in 2022. Apple, Google Parent, Alphabet, and Microsoft all reported booming earnings, underscoring how the pandemic has shifted life and work online, which raises an interesting point, Craig. How many times did representatives of the Titans show up on Capitol Hill and I'll have to get back to you? I don't know, Senator. I don't have an answer. And in the meantime, the money is pouring in. I'm not quite sure that there's any impact when the hue and cry of censorship and shutting down people whose worldview they happen to agree with. I kind of guess it's a Gulliver's travel story here. We must be the Lilliputans and they must be
the
Gulliver.
Giants.
Yes.
But not just one giant, but several of them. By the way, on that, the four Chinese hackers indicted for stealing data. You know, this has been a long-term problem with the nation of China, stealing our technology, hacking our computer systems. And you have to understand, because of the totalitarian structure of China, when you have Chinese private individuals hacking, 9 times out of 10, they are inexorably connected to the Chinese central government. That is to say, they are doing the bidding of the Chinese government. What they gain in terms of data and information is immediately shared with Beijing. This is a problem that has to be confronted with this nation. And the nation of China, the communist China, seems to be immune to world criticism. And frankly, I have seen very little sanction against China for any of this, at least as a nation.
Tying in today, by the way, to the oral argument heard at the High Court on whether or not the federal government has the power and authority constitutionally to enforce a federal mandate, we should point out that in July of last year, July 29th, the president says that federal employees must get vaccinated against COVID-19 or wear a mask on the job and be tested regularly. So you can see how long this issue has been percolating.
Yeah. Look, when you, as we do, review the headlines for the last year, there's usually perhaps a half a dozen to a dozen universal topics that everybody seems to agree on. Well, in the review that I had, and I'm sure you came up with the same conclusion, that COVID was saturated. It predominated 70 to 80% of the news. Now, there's not because the pandemic is not important, because it certainly is. Public health is one of the major concerns, not primarily the federal government, but actually, if you look at the constitutional fabric and the idea of separation of powers, it's considered one of the, quote, police powers belonging primarily to the state. That is to say, law enforcement and public health, among others, belong primarily to states. And yet we're seeing the federal government now in a extraordinary increase, a largesse of authority over this issue in terms of mandates. So we're waiting for the Supreme Court decision on this. I finished listening to the arguments. I came to my opinion that it didn't sound good for the mandate. It sounded like it was going to be struck down, at least in part. And then I read the interpreters and commentators, and a lot of them are saying the same thing.
It's a quick overview of July 2021. We will continue our look at the year that was on today's edition of In the Market with Janet Parshall right after this.
The United States, UK, and Australia are sending an urgent warning to their citizens of an imminent attack by an Islamic State affiliate against thousands gathered at entry points to Kabul's airport.
Yes, it is true. The Taliban are looking for people who have left Islam and who are now following Jesus. And so it's a desperate time for our brothers and sisters, and we need to stand in prayer with them and advocate for their situation.
An Afghan soldier was killed and three wounded in a firefight near the airport today.
There has been a suicide bombing at Kabul Airport in Afghanistan, where crowds were gathered in the hope of getting onto one of the last flights to escape Taliban rule.
Disturbing images of people crying for help outside Kabul's airport in the aftermath of at least two confirmed blasts.
You've now seen that we've updated our casualty list to include a 13th service member killed in action.
In a memo to U.S. service members, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin announcing all troops will be required to get the COVID vaccine.
A 7.2 magnitude earthquake jolting Haiti. Buildings turning to rubble.
hospitals overwhelmed.
Waves lashed the Rhode Island shoreline Sunday as Tropical Storm Henri made landfall.
You have lost sight of your responsibilities to educate our children. Parents are learning, watching, and taking action.
The U.S. confirming four more American citizens are now safely out of Afghanistan after a daring escape by land.
It happened around 4 o'clock on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. The two-engine Amtrak train carrying 141 passengers and 16 crew members suddenly dragged to a halt as eight cars derailed.
These governors won't help us beat the pandemic. I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
Airstrikes rained down on Gaza on Monday. Israel carried out the attack in response to Palestinian rocket fire on its territory for a third consecutive night, according to the Israeli military.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says the federal government will protect anyone trying to get an abortion in Texas from potential violence.
Attorney General Merrick Garland today bluntly declaring that the Texas abortion law is unconstitutional and sets a dangerous precedent.
After a careful assessment of the facts and the law, the Justice Department has filed a lawsuit against the state of Texas.
And that's a quick overview of August and September. Merrick Garland factored greatly in those montages as we combine those 2 months together. Craig, your thoughts about him?
First of all, a retrospective. Merrick Garland was the subject of some heated political debate when he was nominated by a former president for elevation to the U.S. Supreme Court as a former federal judge. And I didn't know a great deal about him. I did a little bit of background investigation. Something stuck out, but nothing very startling. There was a contentious debate about whether or not, with a national election coming up, a nominee should be slipped in shortly before a national election, when in fact the American people would have the choice of who the president was, who could then nominate his or her own choice. And if somebody wanted Merrick Garland, he could still be nominated. If it was a president who didn't like, as it turned out, Merrick Garland, then he wouldn't be nominated. And that's the way it went in the politics. Then he was appointed to the Attorney General's office, an office I have a great deal of regard for, regardless of which president nominates that attorney general. But I was absolutely stunned, shocked, in fact, when Merrick Garland became embroiled in this parents' rights issue in terms of public education, placing them on the same level as domestic terrorists. He took a great deal of heat for that, I think appropriately. And then he said, well, I really wasn't going after parents. Well, in fact, he was saying the FBI might be called in to investigate parents who are complaining to school boards about the way their children were being taught. That's pretty pernicious. And then, again, within the last couple of days, I heard another speech. He was addressing the U.S. attorneys as attorney general, and he brought up this issue of so-called threats against teachers again, and inferring that parents really are the problem and ought to be continued to be investigated. So this is a man who has he's an ideologue rather than a arbiter of justice, from my humble opinion, and that's very disturbing.
Yeah, it's too bad, especially since the National School Board Association called on him to rescind the letter.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done it, even though that letter was used as a bludgeoning tool and supposedly became the catalyst to engage the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as mom and dads now have abracadabra become domestic terrorists. Not to be overlooked is the debacle in Afghanistan. You know, you and I were just talking recently that the story is no longer in the front pages of the paper, where it rightfully was for several days. But there are still Americans left behind in Afghanistan. The Taliban has still grown like a pernicious infection. And there are people who are suffering horribly. I saw a picture of a 10-year-old who was a child bride that the Taliban was forcing this girl into marriage. 10 years of age. So it was a debacle. It is a besmirchment, I think, on America's reputation. And the bad guys, by the way, watched the way we handled that and took advantage of it, may take advantage of it in the future.
Yeah. In fact, we were told by our federal government, our leaders, that there is no way that the Taliban was going to capture Kabul. And that as we moved and publicly talking about, yeah, we're withdrawing and we're going to take our troops out, but hey, the Taliban fighters aren't going to be able to take Kabul. And then in August, they have surrounded Kabul and they're starting to gain entrance into the city and take it over. In May of that same year, Democratic Senator Richard Rosenthal, according to the New Yorker magazine, certainly not a conservative publication by any means, according to their report, he met with the White House and pleaded with the White House to begin immediate evacuation based on the information he had about national security concerns. That was in May of 2020, and we didn't pull out until September 1st.
We're continuing our review of what happened in 2021 and how it portends for 2022. Feel free to weigh in with your thoughts on the topics we're discussing at 877-548-3675. Back after this.
Hey there, I'm Jamin Baxter, and I get to serve Moody Radio as the Director of Business Development. Our team's job is to find businesses that love Moody Radio and Jesus Christ and want to support the work we do financially, just like you. Today, I'd like to introduce you to C.H. Hansen. They work in the metalworking and construction markets. Some of their brands are Superior Tool, Norse, and Palmgren. They make stencils, clamps, layout tools, and more. And you can find their tools in stores like Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, McMaster Car, True Value, Grainger, and many, many more. Check out their website at chhansen.com. That's chhansen.com. Thanks to you and to C.H. Hansen for supporting Moody Radio.
There are dozens of talk shows that address politics, culture, and technology, but In the Market is committed to bringing biblical truth to every facet of life. When you financially support In the Market as a partial partner, you're helping people to better understand how their faith intersects with their daily lives. Become a partial partner today and receive exclusive benefits prepared just for you. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org.
Witnesses said the missionaries were forced out of a bus at gunpoint. The group includes 5 men, 7 women, and 5 children, the youngest just 2 years old.
Each year, the Red Mass at St. Matthew's Cathedral marks the beginning of the High Court's term. This year, the 9 black-robed justices will decide major cases on abortion, gun rights, and the First Amendment.
The Department of Justice announced that it is investigating threats made against teachers and school board members nationwide.
Can you imagine the sort of intimidation, the sort of bullying impact that a memorandum from the Department of Justice would have?
Nothing in this memorandum, or any memorandum, is about parents expressing disagreements with their school boards. The memorandum makes clear parents are entitled and protected by the First Amendment to have vigorous debates.
The Liberty Council submitting this class action lawsuit. It's more than 450 pages, suing the Biden administration for mandates they charge break the law.
Handcuffed and surrounded by heavily armed officers, this is Colombia's biggest drug kingpin after he was finally captured.
Protests are erupting across the country over COVID-19 mandates. This as concern grows over a new subvariant of the virus, and the FDA is expected to make a big announcement.
China denied they test-launched a hypersonic missile into space this summer after a Financial Times report that it circled the entire Earth and landed within 25 miles of its target.
U.S. Navy nuclear engineer and his wife have been charged with selling secret information about the Navy's submarine program and were caught by an FBI operation.
The people of Iraq are voting in a parliamentary election called several months early in response to mass anti-government protests during which hundreds of people were killed.
The tough abortion law was first struck down last week by a federal judge, only to be reinstated within 2 days by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The law was specifically crafted to make it hard to overturn.
Some of the stories that were part of the headlines of October 2021, in addition to what you just heard, Southwest Airlines had a meltdown that canceled more than 1,800 flights toward the beginning of the month, citing bad weather and air traffic control problems. U.S. crude closed above $80 a barrel for the first time since 2014. And President Xi is now apparently reshaping China's economy. Chinese officials are scrutinizing state bank ties with big private sector players as part of the president's push to curb capitalist forces in the economy. And the L.A. port, we've talked about the supply chain. That all goes back to October 13th. The Port of L.A. said it's going to begin operating around the clock to ease cargo bottlenecks that have led to shortages and higher consumer prices. And Tesla zooms ahead. Tesla's market value surpassed $1 trillion as Hertz ordered 100,000 vehicles a few days after the EV maker reported record earnings. Craig, some of your standout stories for October.
Colin Powell, by the way, one of the retrospectives that you have at the end of the year are well-known figures who have died and you had forgotten about it or didn't know it at the time. He was 84 years old. He really became part of the evening news for that period of time. I think it was slightly over 100 days. In the battle in Kuwait, rose to obvious prominence as Secretary of State as well, and certainly is going to be missed. The story about the missionaries is a constant reminder that out there there are stories of those, and you and I, of course, know personally some very brave Christian missionaries who are in some very dangerous places. Their stories are not being told in the headlines, but we need to pray for them. Because every year they are spreading the gospel to those who have not heard, and they are completing the Great Commission in a very courageous way. They deserve our prayers and our support.
So if I were to ask you what was the most confusing story of October 2021, I'll tell you what my answer would be. What is the significance of Zuckerberg changing the name of his company to Meta Platforms?
Wasn't there a Disney movie called Meta Genius or something? Remember? No, seriously, I don't think I saw it.
Disney and I parted company a long time ago.
All right, but maybe it wasn't Disney, but it was an animated feature because I remember seeing the ads for it, and it had this big headed genius with a large cranium, and I think he was called Meta. I'm sorry to be laughing, but of all the names, if you look at the word, and I tend to spend a lot of time thinking about words because I've had an opportunity to write a couple books. Micro means small. Meta means huge, big, universal. You know, there's a lot of talk about the meta universe. So by changing Facebook to Meta, what has been a giant globally is now going to be intergalactic? I don't know, and I don't get it.
So I'm not the only one who's confused
by
that.
No, okay. And there's a lot of humor going around about it.
Well, it's they want to be known as the metaverse, by the way.
So yes, they do.
I know it's difficult for you to keep a straight face, but it isn't enough that
there's a very serious and troubling part of this.
Yes, when you realize
Welcome to our metaverse.
And his platform can shut down a continent in a metaverse if they want to, which is what they did last year in Australia. But he unveiled the name, and apparently he sees it as key to the tech giants attracting younger users. So you mean that cartoon audience now apparently is going to be able to resonate with the new name Metaverse because they, even if you can't remember the name of the cartoon, saw it and now they're going to join?
Yeah, I'm with whatever it is. This Meta sounds pretty cool, that kind of thing.
Well, listen to this, and this is why this is not a laughing matter. Because if you drop this contextually into the control of information, you begin to see how so many of the things can fulfill prophecy in the book of Revelation, right? Now, let me hit the pause button immediately. I'm not saying that's happening tomorrow, but you start to see the pieces of the stage being moved, right? And you realize how this is going to come to pass. So here's Zuckerberg. We've gone from desktop to web to phones, from text to photos to video, but this isn't the end of the line. We believe the metaverse will be the successor to the mobile internet. And so he's not kidding. Now, if you decide that you're going to control content, and he certainly does, he kicks people off all the time that don't agree with him on COVID, don't agree with him on gender equality issues, don't agree with him on political issues, don't agree with him on the outcomes of elections, etc. So he sits there like one of the Greek gods at the Parthenon.
One of the oracles.
Exactly. Deciding what information shall and shall not be dispersed. And then he looks at the common plebes at the bottom of Mount Olympus and says, and in the meantime, I'm going to tell you that we're going to get bigger, and therefore bigger portends more control. Now, you know, a lot of people have said, just hang up your socks, you know, don't go to Facebook anymore, get rid of Twitter and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, give up that opportunity to preach the gospel in Acts 17 by going to Mars Hill, right?
Well, right. And here's what Zuckerberg said. We expect to spend many billions of dollars for years to come. I'm sorry, but I don't think he's anywhere near having a Damascus Road experience in terms of his threats to censorship and free speech.
Janet, the more I study the worldview of the originators of and the leaders of Facebook, Google, Twitter, Amazon, and Apple, the five giants that I really believe are controlling information digitally around the world, but certainly within the United States, and examine their worldview, they are certainly not friendly to a bibliocentric worldview. There is very little sympathy for the Christian gospel. There has been antagonism against the gospel, and I could spend hours, and I have on your program, citing the takedowns of Christian organizations and their postings and their Bible verses. And this entire scourge of censorship started about a decade ago. I began studying it and had some interns, law interns from law schools working with me and said, let's just study the potential for this possibly happening with these giants. And lo and behold, Apple takes down the Manhattan Declaration of Christian Orthodox Belief. That's all it was a statement of standard traditional Orthodox Christian belief in areas of religious liberty, family unit, marriage, freedom and government. And they were taken down because of some protesters who didn't like Charles Colson's view of, his Christian view of those particular subjects. And that was the beginning of it. And it exploded ever since. Facebook and Twitter have been some of the most vociferous censors of traditional Christian ideas.
Now, am I the only one who thinks that there's something strange in the water when you start seeing ads on television where a person sits and talks to an employee of Facebook and the Facebook employee says, I think we should have all kinds of views. Or the Facebook employee says, I think we need to make changes to Section 230. This is stuff they never would have done in the past. But from my vantage point, and I'm sorry if I sound like a cynic, but that doesn't pass the straight face test. This is a man who wants more control as well as more censorship. He's been to Capitol Hill more times than I can count. We've sat through every single one of his hearings, Craig. I see no changes whatsoever. Is there change coming?
Well, there's change coming, I believe, but it's not going to come from these Silicon Valley giants. They have been warned. They have been brought into Washington, D.C. on multiple occasions, all the heads of these giant organizations, and have been grilled vehemently, criticized vehemently, and I can tell you this because I study it every day, they have not changed their policies one whit. As a matter of fact, they have become more entrenched that we will decide what information the American people can share, and we will decide what you will not be sharing and will not be reading.
Well, and then the problem is that the love of money is the root of all evil, and people on both sides of the aisle take money from big tech. So who is going to be the white knight that's going to defend First Amendment?
We will have to have some politicians of courage, some real patriots, and people who believe in the constitutional rule, and an informed electorate that deserve all the information.
Well, that is one more month down in review for 2021. When we come back, we'll take a quick look at November and December.
A federal appeals court has temporarily blocked the Biden administration's vaccine requirement for companies with 100 employees or more.
Even after a U.S. appeals court temporarily blocked the vaccine mandate, the Biden administration is pushing businesses to proceed.
Austria has imposed a lockdown on people unvaccinated against the coronavirus.
The federal vaccine and testing mandate that was set to start in January is now put on hold for private businesses.
People lined up at the border and taking off from airports around the world as America officially opens for business to most international visitors.
Aaron Rodgers' Halloween plans coming back to haunt him as the NFL issued a nearly $15,000 fine for attending this party while unvaccinated.
Service members waiting on their religious exemption requests remain in limbo.
We know what the scientists tell us, and we have learned not to ignore them. 2 degrees more
and we jeopardize the food supply.
The court is considering what's to become of two lawsuits challenging SB 8, the Texas law that has stopped nearly all abortions in the state.
In Virginia's closely watched governor's race, Republican businessman Glenn Youngkin has emerged triumphant.
The United States is sending a clear message to Russia. Invade U.S. ally Ukraine, and we will respond.
The high court will consider a Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks.
There was new hope Tuesday for an effective COVID pill.
Canada has joined the growing list of countries planning a diplomatic boycott of the upcoming Beijing Winter Olympics.
A sanctuary state for abortions. That's what Governor Newsom envisions if the Supreme Court, which heard arguments over an abortion ban last week, rules to leave abortion access up to individual states.
Those 12 remaining foreign missionaries who were still being held hostage in Haiti since October have been released, according to Christian Aid Ministries.
I came here today to speak about right and wrong, to say life is a human right, and urge the Supreme Court of the United States to choose life.
That's a quick summary of November and December of 2021. Craig, what are some of the other standout stories for those 2 months from last year for you?
Just a reminder that in November of 2020, we were still seeing the effects of COVID on industry and on our economy. And I'll give an example in the world of entertainment. And there was a whole list of movies scheduled to be released that are in the same lap, but one of the obviously most talked about was the last James Bond movie called No Time to Die. It was scheduled to be released in November of 2020. It was not released until April of 2021. That was one of many. So everything was still being delayed. The economy was still lagging. Confusion was still abounding. And people were scratching their heads, still saying, when is this going to end?
We haven't talked about it. Spoiler alert, I won't give it away, but one of the big stories in the world of entertainment for 2021, 007.
Yes, a rather controversial movie for those who are aficionados of James Bond. And we're not going to give a spoiler alert about what the ending of that movie is. If you're a fan and you want to watch it, then you're going to have to come to your own conclusions. But needless to say, Hollywood has always been rather, what should we say, wokey.
Woke.
Now they have taken wokey and put it into the dictionary. And when you see woke in the dictionary, you're going to see probably a scene from No Time to Die.
It's a pretty good hint. All right. As we wrap up what has been 2 hours of review of 2021, obviously the word that keeps coming up over and over and over and over again, and it's in the headlines today because the Supreme Court heard oral arguments on whether or not the government, the federal government, has the constitutional authority to mandate a vaccine. They were pretty historic arguments, by the way, I'd like to point out. Gross exaggerations on Justice Sotomayor. She's getting pushback from all corners today. I mean, literally exaggerating the numbers by over 2,000% of how many children have COVID. It's an embarrassment. And what she was doing was carrying water for the federal government, clearly, and not acting as a justice. But what we found as encouraging were the fact that there was lots of conversation about, why are you trying to do a workaround? You can't have this power indefinitely. They know there are about 80 million people that will be impacted, and they're saying a decision perhaps within the next month. So COVID is a huge story, has been. Do you think it'll be a big story in 2022?
Yeah, it will continue to be. I'm just hoping some of the predictions I've heard that the pandemic is going to be waning out will come to fruition. My bigger concern is if, in fact, the severity the newest variation, Omicron, apparently is significantly less deadly, but more transmittable. And so, in other words, it's like a cold or the flu in how easily it's spread. My bigger concern is this, that the American people get all the information without any political overlay on that information. We have data. We deserve the data to make personal decisions for ourselves and our families. And we deserve it as electors who are going to be voting in midterm elections. And my biggest concern is that there will not be transparency. about what's really happening in the pandemic. And, to, you know, numbers, you can make numbers do backflips depending on how cleverly you use them. So I want all the data, all the facts, and I want the science. I don't want polyscience.
Play on words. What about abortion?
Well, we're Janet, the American people have caught on for years that sanctity of life is more important than death to unborn children, as evidenced by the fact that two major Supreme Court cases are ready for decision very soon, the Texas case and the Dobbs case from Mississippi. That tells me a lot about the climate of the country, about what federal judges are saying, and the Supreme Court's going to have a tough job ahead of them. But I believe that it means sanctity of life is not going away. It's a virtue. It's a principle. It is the result of a creator God who loves us, who created life, and who should be recognized for it.
Something you'd like to see happen in 2022?
Well, I'd love to see the church in 2022 really exercise critical thinking skills in burrowing deep, deep into the Word, and then applying it with courage and insight and boldness to what they see around them, without making presuppositions, without being swayed by the headlines. Take the Word, apply it to the world, and then be part of the Great Commission.
Yeah. Thank you, Craig. I really enjoy doing this every year with you. The first live program together as husband and wife as we review the year that was. I will end the way I do every time we have one of these conversations. What am I looking forward to in 2022? Maybe, just maybe, this is the year that Jesus takes us home. That great rapture when we'll be caught up with Him. Even so, come Lord Jesus.
Amen to that.
Thanks for joining us, friends. We'll see you next time on In the Market with Janet Parshall.